Welcome back, everyone, to Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And what is our subject for today?
We thought we'd talk about what it means to be authentically ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're calling this Authentically You. And the inspiration comes from Jonathan Hebert, someone I just discovered on Facebook. He's the cutest, most whimsical man who makes flower crowns and felt hats and dances around in his garden. And he's just the loveliest soul, such a luminous, shining soul. And we watched a video together of him. And one of the statements he made that really struck a chord with us is authoritarianism cannot survive individuality. And so he has chosen as his way of responding to all the terrible things going on and the creeping authoritarianism is just to be more and more authentically himself and to create a space of whimsy and charm for people to just kind of decompress and relax. And it's just the most joyful thing to watch someone who is just coming out of themselves and shining with no inhibitions and just making a choice that they're going to be exactly who they are. And what a permission it gives to everybody else to do the same.
I love it when, you know, kids are like that, you know, when you're around kids and they just speak the truth and like they're just like playing and they don't care what everyone else thinks. I gravitate to people like that who can just, they don't have so many filters on them. Like they don't have like the heaviness that sometimes I feel from where we were raised. And
I've often thought watching my grandkids and other little kids being exactly that, so uninhibited and joyful and just so full of life, that being raised as we were in the Bible Belt and in the whole theology around the fall, to me, I think that's the loss of innocence. It's the loss of that state of just being fully who you are without reference to what do they think or what do they think or how are people going to judge me. It's that innocence of I am who I am, and I just feel so much joy in giving full expression to the essence of me.
Yeah, I've also heard that when people are depressed, they can kind of, they can call their spirit back into their body by listing the things that they love.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of embodying the energies of the things that they love.
Yeah. There's this concept in shamanic cultures called soul loss, which means that especially when we're really young and things happen to us that kind of destroy our innocence, there are pieces of us that go into hiding to survive. But we experience the soul loss, and it shows up as energy loss, loss of vibrancy in life, sometimes depression, sometimes illness. And then in those societies, when you go to see the shaman, they call back those parts of you that have gone missing.
And they say, like, when did you forget to dance?
Yeah. And I feel like we've talked in the past about feeding your demons and the work around going into the shadow side of you and bringing back, reintegrating those parts of you. And I feel like that is soul retrieval work too.
Yeah, like the simple questions of like, what do you want from me? What do you need from me? How will you feel when you get what you need? And then just giving it what it needs.
Yeah.
That's kind of like IFS parts therapy too, when you can talk to those parts of yourself and give them what they need. Even if it's every day first thing in the morning, that you know that there are these parts, like, you know, there's this teenage rebel part of me, or there's this childhood really sad part of me.
Yeah.
If you can just give them what they want first thing in the morning, then you can go out in your day and be a little bit more authentic.
Right. Well, maybe that's why Sandra Bullock says you have to dance before you leave the house.
Yeah.
Because you're calling back that energy and taking that into the world with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, like, most people, when they're preparing for their day, they're actually putting on the suit, all of the things that are making them acceptable to the world that they're entering, right? This is going to make me look professional. This is going to make me look like I'm wealthy or like, I don't know, the thing that's going to garner respect.
So I was at Folk Fest this last weekend, and that was one of the conversations that my friends and I had. I wonder how different all of these people would look on a regular basis in their work lives. Like, would we recognize any of them? Because everyone was wearing their brightest tie-dye, you know, outfits and flowers and sparkles and just really enjoying being alive. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the mundane work life.
And yeah. Well, that's how I feel when I go to a Pride event. All of the color and like the unabashed, like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And there's so much love and support for anyone who gets up on the stage to share their experience and talk about their life. And I always leave there thinking, you know, if these people, especially in the Bible Belt where we live, if these people can come out and show up authentically, knowing what it takes and how much anger or disapproval or judgment they will face, if they can do that, then surely I can step out of my little closets, whatever they are, and show up authentically. Mm-hmm. But it's really challenging because there's so much conditioning around who you should be, who you shouldn't be.
And these are my people, so I have to believe like them or else I won't belong. And like, social death is often a bigger fear than actual death. But another thing that I noticed at Folk Fest was it reminded me of your stories of the Camino. I'm sure it's nothing like the Camino, but it just gave me a sort of taste of it, because anybody you meet, you automatically had this connection of like, well, we're both here. We both took the time, set aside time to delight in this and invested our money and brought our friends, and some didn't bring friends and they just made friends there, and that's kind of like your Camino journey.
Yeah. Well, I think that is the camaraderie that happens naturally when you show up in your authenticity. Mm-hmm. When do you feel most authentic? Like, for me, it's when I travel. Mm-hmm. I can leave behind everything and no one knows who I am. And it's not like I do anything super different but it's just the freedom of, I don't have to care what anybody thinks. I can explore all these new things. It feels so expansive to go and experience a different culture, and there's no agenda. I don't have to show up at any given time. I don't have to respond to bells and agendas and, you know, all those kinds of things. It's so freeing. So the Camino is all about that. Mm-hmm. And you're just walking day after day and encountering people and having these just really heartfelt conversations with people. And maybe it makes it easier to show up authentically because chances are, you know, you won't see a lot of those people again.
Yeah.
So you can share your life story without fear of being judged, or you can be silly or come out of yourself in ways that you might not normally.
I'm reminded now of like when me and my siblings went out into the world and like went into a completely new environment, and how, well, my one sister in particular just came alive, and like she was a nanny down in the States for a while, and you know, she just, this whole different side of her personality came out. And I notice that sometimes when I go home, like back to my parents' place and meet with my siblings for family gatherings, that this old part of me comes out, that like, I'm not that person anymore, but I'm kind of showing up as I'm expected to, as like the teenage me, you know, like, and I'm just like, what is this? I feel like the most myself when I'm with you, when I'm with my chosen friends, especially when I'm with people who know everything about me, who we are very different in certain important ways, but yet still accepted. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like then I can show up and truly be myself. But even when you go out in public and you don't know anybody, it's brave. Like, I remember you getting this one red, was it a dress or a cloak or something, and just talking about what it would be like to go out wearing it.
My cape, yeah.
Yeah, because like, who wears red to begin with? Not a lot of people. Yeah. You see a lot of like tan and, you know, like neutral colors out there. But to go out there and just be like, I'm going to grocery shop in my red cape today. Like, what would that be like? You know, like,
well, I'm doing it more and more. woman in the Bible Belt wears bright red cape.
you could be like the newspaper.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. But I don't know, just thinking about stuff like that. And it's not only, but you know, actually when I go into my closet and I'm feeling great or I'm going to a place I'm very excited about, then I pick my brightest, most colorful dresses or shirts and I just want to go out there and be myself. But when I feel like I just want to be invisible, I don't want anyone to see me, then I'll wear like something just neutral.
What does it say about our culture? Like you think about working culture and especially white collar culture. What does it say that you can't be colorful? Right? The men all have to wear somber colors, black, gray suits, right? You couldn't wear a bright green suit to work. And women wear white or dark, you know, tailored suits.
Like the Hutterites, the Amish, the cult I grew up in, we had to wear navy and white. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there is something about whimsy and color and
personal expression.
Yeah, that is a threat to authoritarianism and
because it's individuality.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want that. They want you to conform.
Well, I don't know if you've read or seen The Handmaid's Tale. I have.
I tried it. I tried a few episodes, and it just turned my stomach. I couldn't. Well, keep it totally watching it.
Yes. Yeah. Like I'm afraid to watch it. I've read the book.
Oh, okay.
But it does strike me that you have to put people in a uniform right away to make them lose their individuality. And you think about our systems and, you know, like if you're going to be in law enforcement, if you're going to be in the army, anything that represents the authority of the state or even a corporation, the authority of a corporation, you have to wear a uniform. So God forbid you should show up in your individuality. You know, wearing something brightly colorful or whimsical. It's just an interesting observation. We were talking before we started this podcast about clowns.
Because I met a clown at Folk Fest. Yeah, she was just so bubbly and I didn't know what to think when she first plopped down on our you know, like we had our lawn chairs up with a blanket and she plopped down on the blanket and before you know it, we were braiding each other's hair. She was teaching us how to juggle and like, it was the best.
But it just came to me that I read somewhere that back in medieval times, the court jester was the only person in the court that was allowed to talk back to the king, to poke fun of the king, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was a function there that was essential to the health of the state and the kingdom, which was that the king's ego had to be held in check. So you need a court jester, and we talked about modern court jesters like Robin Williams and Jim Carrey. And
comedians in general can say political things or sexual things that other people couldn't say and get away with.
Yeah, but they're the ones that hold up that mirror, right? Mm-hmm. Like if a politician's going to be roasted or they'll hold up the mirror and show us where we're not being authentic. Like, hey, you're taking yourself way too seriously. Just, you know, decompress a little. Let your hair down.
Yeah. No, I definitely love the whole idea of individuality and because I believe in sovereignty so much, like we all are the boss of ourselves. Like we don't need to give our power away to other people, to, you know, the powers that be. If it doesn't agree with our values, we don't need to do it. Like we just need to know our values and like it's not a fighting thing, it's a sovereignty thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you can be you and I can be me. And, you know, we're just looking for the win-win-win and that's an ethical thing to do.
It's a win-win-win from the perspective of the person who's being authentic. It's often not a win for an authoritarian or dominator culture. And it makes me think of that movie Life is Beautiful with Roberto Benigni, where he is just this wonderfully whimsical, authentic character who uses humor even as Nazism is taking hold, and even to the point where he and his family are captured and taken to the concentration camps, and how he saves his son from the horrors of the concentration camp is by turning everything into pretending it's a game for his son's sake. And he doesn't survive in the end, but the son survives and the mother survives. And that is his legacy, is that he in a way kept safe. He safeguarded part of their innocence so that they could survive and move on.
That was so also powerful. A way that others who were in the concentration camps could keep their sovereignty, was that no one could take their sense of humor away from them. And, you know, it was horrific what happened, but the people, like Esther Perel is the daughter of two survivors of those camps. Mm-hmm. And she, growing up, pretty much her whole community was survivors of them. And she said there were two types of people that came out of there. One were people who just, like, were kind of surviving and didn't open their windows or anything like that. And then the others were just, like, they had a new lease on life, and they were, like really living, like, mm-hmm. really just savoring every bit because they knew what it was mm-hmm. like to not have that. And we get to choose that every day, too, mm-hmm. what side, like, remember that one, was it a meme? But there's this bus and these cartoon characters in there, and then one side is this dark mountain that they could just stare at, and the other is this beautiful landscape that they could stare at. And you can always choose which side to look at. You can, like, there's always good and bad. There's always yin and yang. No matter what we do in this life, we can always choose to look on the bright side.
Yeah. I think that there's a healing power in authenticity, not just for ourselves.
It's contagious.
There's a quote from somebody, yeah. some shamanic practitioner. I remember her quote was, "I am recovering the parts of myself that were innocent before the bomb fell." Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that choice to recover your authenticity is so healing, but not just for you, because every time you choose to be authentic, like this guy, Jonathan Hebert, I just can't, it brings so much joy just to watch his videos, and it gives me permission to go out and be myself.
It's very inspirational. I like hanging around with people like that.
Yeah.
Who can just say what's on their mind and be bright and happy, and yeah, that it's not a scary thing to do. And, yeah. and that does take recovering those childhood parts of ourselves that were yeah. punished for that brightness.
But I think the more we allow ourselves to be authentic, it makes us more resilient. Mm-hmm. Because we're not trying so hard. You know, the try hard is we want approval. So anytime somebody calls you out or is nasty to you on social media or all those things, they hurt because you're trying so hard. Once you let go of the trying, and it's like, I'm just going
to
be...
It doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. Like I spent 40-some years learning to love myself. I don't have any more time to convince you to love me. Like, you either love me or you don't. And how can people love us if we're not authentic?
They can't. And if you can't love yourself enough to be authentic.
Yeah.
Right? Because that means I'm afraid to let out my authentic self because I don't love it enough. Mm. And that means I depend on the love from everyone else to prop it up.
Yeah, and that's where the codependency creeps in.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes.
You're giving your power away.
From Oscar Wilde, I think. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you can kind of tell, too, when people are, like, just trying to blend. And I mean, it's probably human nature in a way, right? To try to be like the tribe and everything, but there's such beauty in diversity.
Yeah. We were joking because you were talking about people at the folk festival that were, you know, dressed in this whimsical way and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then other people started showing up dressed like them.
Oh, like the performers yeah. in the polka dots. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just kind of made the comment, oh, I love your authenticity so much. I want to be like you. It's such human nature because you see how people are responding. Mm-hmm. To someone else who's authentic, and it's like, I want some of that.
And how many celebrities and popular people have risen to the top by their authenticity, mm-hmm. you know, or like by telling their managers or whatever, no, I'm going to do it this mm-hmm. way. I'm trying to think, was it Katy Perry or, you know, like just some of these people who are so bizarre sometimes in their concerts.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, like they yeah. insist on it being to pivoting towards their preferences, but not letting others push them around and be like, no, you must fit this mold.
Yeah,
you must
yeah.
do it this way because...
Well, there's so many stories about like albums, like for example, Night at the Opera, Queen, where they produced an album that was so unusual and the record company was upset about it, but it was a major hit. And then what happens record companies then will want all their other artists to do the same thing, right? You can't just trust an artist to be creative on their own. Mm-hmm. It's such a phenomenon of human nature. It's like, oh, that person's out there being authentic, and wow, you know, they're having so much success. Maybe I can do that too. But it isn't you. It's not.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So the hardest thing maybe is to let the authenticity out and to be who we are without reference to anyone
else.
It's
a challenge for sure.
Yeah.
So if you guys have someone that you know who inspires you by being authentic, let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
What have they done to inspire you?
Or tell us what it feels like when you're at your most authentic.
Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Keep singing your heart song.